The following audiobooks contain AI-generated content and may contain errors. This audiobook narration presents Tbilisi on Foot, Neighborhood Walks Through the City's River, Hills, and Living History. Prologue. At dawn, you notice Tbilisi by smell before shape. Warm stone, fresh bread, and the faint mineral breath rising from the bath quarter below. On the right bank of the Macari, the city is still half asleep, folded into steep lanes, balconies, stairways, and the hard logic of a gorge that narrows the river into a silver thread. Up above, Narikala keeps watch. Down below, the domed sulfur baths remind you why the city took its name from Tbili, meaning warm. This is a place founded not just on beauty, but on heat, water, and a strategic crossing. This guide is for the traveler who comes to Tbilisi for longer than a quick glance, perhaps for 1 to 3 weeks, and wants the city to become ordinary in the best possible way. The question beneath every walk is simple. How do you learn a city that changes century, slope, and mood in the space of a few blocks? The answer, as Tbilisi keeps showing, is to move slowly enough to notice the seams. You begin in the old core and the bath district, then follow the lanes into Solalaki, up toward Rustaveli, across to Avlabari, and onward to the museums, markets, river edges, and hilltop viewpoints that give the capital its full outline. The right bank holds the medieval tangle. The left bank opens wider. Bridges do more than cross water here. They change the temperature of a walk. Along the way, you meet the people who make the city legible. There is the first-time visitor, learning to trust the metro and a pocketful of Georgian lari, the currency that still matters in baths, markets, and small neighborhood shops. There is the guesthouse host, who greets with Gamarjoba and points toward the nearest bakery. There is the bath attendant, who explains, with a tap on the brick dome, that the springs are not a backdrop, but the city's beginning. And there is the tamada at a supra, the long Georgian feast, where toasts guide the rhythm and the table becomes a kind of social map. The city's history is not hidden, but it is layered. In the 5th century, King Vakhtang Gorgasali shifted the royal seat here, and later centuries added merchant courtyards, churches, mosques, Art Nouveau balconies, Soviet-scale avenues, and modern glass, without fully erasing what came before. Tbilisi is not a city of tidy preservation. It is a city of survival, where old stone, repaired plaster, and new paint all share the same street. Even the alphabet on the signs, Mkhedruli, the rounded Georgian script, feels less like a code than part of the architecture. In the chapters ahead, you will move from the tight lanes of Kala to Solalaki's balconies, along Rustaveli's civic spine, into Vera's quieter apartment streets, and across the river to Avlabari, where the skyline opens and the old and new cities face one another. You will pause at museums, drift through the dry bridge market, and sit at tables where Khinkali, Khachapuri, and wine arrive with the city's own easy rhythm. None of this is meant to be rushed. Tbilisi makes more sense as a series of neighborhoods than as a checklist of attractions. That is why this journey matters now. Tbilisi can be read too quickly as a postcard of baths and hilltop views, or too narrowly as a capital in transition. But if you stay long enough, the city offers something rarer, a way to understand how daily life, memory, and movement fit together. A church bell drifting over traffic, a courtyard opening behind a plain gate, a staircase that behaves like a street, a cafe where the conversation slows at exactly the right moment. All of it teaches you the same lesson. Here, the route is part of the meaning. What follows will not rush you. It will show you how the old center, the baths, the museums, the markets, and the neighborhood tables connect. It will help you listen for the city's practical grammar, from a quick hello to a polite bill request, from a shared meal to a quiet crossing at dusk. And it will keep returning you to the same durable image, a capital built between river and ridge, always climbing, always descending, always asking you to read the land before you read the street names. So let the river become your compass, the hills your vocabulary, and the bridges your pauses. By the time Chapter 1 begins, Tbilisi should already feel less like a destination and more like a place you are learning to inhabit, one neighborhood at a time. End of prologue. If you think of Tbilisi as a city that asks you to read the land before you read the street names, you are already on the right track. It sits in a narrow corridor along the Mtkvari River, pressed between steep hills and ridges, so the basic logic is always the same: uphill, downhill, or across the water. Once that pattern clicks, the city starts to feel legible. Even the air helps orient you. One block may smell like fresh bread, the next like wet stone, and near the bath district, you may catch that familiar sulfur note that tells you the warm springs are close. That mineral smell is part of the city's origin, not just part of its atmosphere. Tbilisi takes its name from Tblili, meaning warm, a reference to the geothermal springs that helped define the settlement from the beginning. The first city grew here because the gorge was useful as well as beautiful. At the narrowest point of the river, the cliffs create a natural choke point, which made the site valuable for defense and trade. Warm water, strategic position, and a landscape with a strong personality made a practical founding combination. The city's formal history begins in the 5th century, when King Vakhtang Gorgasali moved the royal residence from Mtsketa to this strategically placed site. From there, Tbilisi grew into a fortress city around Narikala, with medieval walls, caravan routes, markets, baths, and churches packed into a tight urban core. Over the centuries, it endured Mongol, Persian, and Ottoman pressure, which meant repeated destruction and rebuilding. Tbilisi never became a place of neat, uninterrupted preservation. Instead, it became a layered city of survival, where each era had to make room for the ones before it. Because it was a crossroads, the old center also held different communities close together. Churches, a mosque, and merchant spaces ended up within walking distance of one another, rather than being neatly separated. That mixed, compressed feel is one of the first things you notice when you start to walk the city slowly. It is also one of the reasons Tbilisi rewards time. A first glance tells you that it is old. A second tells you that it is varied. A third tells you that it has never been one single city in the simple sense. That layered feeling becomes even clearer in the 19th century, when the city expands under the Russian Empire beyond its medieval shell. Sololaki grows as a gridded neighborhood of mansions, balconies, and Art Nouveau facades. Rustaveli becomes the grand civic spine, with the broad, formal character of an avenue that wants to signal both capital status and modern ambition. Then, the Soviet period adds another layer altogether: the metro, wide residential districts, and a more modern scale of planning. Since independence in 1991, the city has kept renewing itself, restoring some historic buildings, adapting others, and mixing old stone with new glass and fresh paint in a way that feels very Tbilisi, because it rarely commits to just one era at a time. On foot, those layers become obvious. The right bank, where the old core sits, feels compressed and intimate. Narrow lanes, courtyards, balconies, and stairways pull you into the urban fabric, and you end up looking up as much as forward. Some streets are so narrow and steep that the city effectively asks you to continue on foot.
The left bank is flatter and more open, which makes it easier to cross and less claustrophobic, but also less dense in historic atmosphere. When you cross the river, you are not only changing sides, you are often changing pace, architecture, and the emotional temperature of the walk. Tbilisi is one of those cities where a short distance can feel much longer if a hill is involved, so slope is part of the route, not just the scenery. The city's real map is drawn in effort, height, and where your legs begin to notice the terrain. That is why it helps to think in neighborhoods and ridges rather than in isolated landmarks.
Let one district do the work of a day. Let one bank hold your attention long enough for its lanes and stairs to make sense. That is usually a better way to know the city than trying to cross it in one long loop. The city helps you orient by sound as well as sight. Church bells drift over traffic. Footsteps echo off stone in the older lanes. In the wider avenues, the traffic opens into a different kind of hum. The river is not always loud, but it is the reason the city has its shape, and its crossings matter. If Narikala is above you, the baths are usually below or nearby.
If the ground starts widening into an avenue, you are moving toward the more formal 19th and 20th century layers. Keep those anchors in mind, and the city becomes much easier to enjoy. For daily spending, the Georgian lari is the currency you will actually use, and it helps to think of it as part of the city's practical grammar. Central cafes, museums, restaurants, and larger shops are often card-friendly, especially in the more visited parts of town. But cash still matters in bathhouses, markets, and smaller neighborhood purchases. ATMs are the simplest way to get local currency.
It is worth carrying a few smaller notes, because not every place wants to make change for a larger bill. Tipping is appreciated rather than automatic, usually as a modest roundup or a small extra amount in sit-down places. Transit in Tbilisi has a clear hierarchy, and once you understand it, the city becomes much easier to move through. Walking is the best way to understand the center, because the streets themselves tell the story. The metro is the fastest cross-city tool, buses fill the gaps, and taxis are the sensible backup when distance, weather, or a genuinely punishing hill make walking a poor bargain.
The city is not huge, but it is vertical enough that a route which looks short on paper can feel like a small expedition in real life. That is why a taxi is not a defeat here. Sometimes it is simply the smart answer. The metro has two lines, and they meet at Station Square, which does a lot of the heavy lifting for a visitor. The stations worth keeping in your head are Liberty Square, Rustaveli, Avlivari, Station Square, and Didube. Liberty Square is your gateway to the old center. Rustaveli drops you onto the city's ceremonial and cultural axis. Avlivari puts you on the left bank near the cathedral ridge. Station Square is the hinge.
Didube matters when your day moves toward the city's outer edges or the routes beyond it. The stations themselves can be part of the experience, with deep escalators, marble, mosaics, and a distinctly Soviet sense of descending into an engineering project before stepping back into street life.
if you only memorize those few names, the Metro stops feeling like a puzzle and starts feeling like a useful shortcut. Buses and minibuses fill in the spaces the Metro does not reach, and they are especially useful once you begin thinking beyond the very center.
A good way to work with Tbilisi is to let the Metro handle the long jump, then walk the final stretch. If you are in Old Tbilisi or Solalaki, walking usually makes the most sense. If you need to cross the city quickly or save your legs for a hilltop walk, the Metro does the practical work and the taxi fills the gap. In other words, use the cheapest way to cross distance and the most revealing way to cross a neighborhood. The more you respect the hills, the more generous the city feels in return. Elevation is not a sightseeing accessory in Tbilisi. It is part of how the city moves. That is why the cable cars and the Mtatsminda funicular belong in the normal transport conversation. If a ride can carry you uphill and give your legs a break before a walk back down, it earns its place. These are not gimmicks. They are efficient ways of using the city's own topography, and they often set you up for one of the best parts of any Tbilisi walk, which is the descent, when the views open and the city starts unspooling below you. A simple way to think about your days here is to cluster by neighborhood and slope instead of trying to stitch the entire city together in one oversized circuit.
Let one bank do most of the work, and cross the river only when it serves the plan. If you start in the old core, stay there long enough for its lanes, baths, and courtyards to make sense. If you shift to Solalaki or Rustaveli, let one of those districts shape the day. The city rewards that kind of patience, because the real pleasure is not in checking off distance. It is in noticing how the character changes when you move one ridge or one bridge away. A few Georgian phrases go a long way here, and they do not need to be perfect to matter. Gamarjoba means hello. Madloba means thank you. Tushadesleba means please, or if possible.
Diach means yes. Ara means no. Sad Aris means where is, which becomes especially useful when the hills start making you philosophical. Nachvamdis means goodbye. The consonant clusters may look fierce on the page, but they are much friendlier once you hear them spoken aloud. The Georgian script you will see on signs is called Mkhidruli. It is rounded, flowing, and far less intimidating than it first appears. Think of it as part of the city's visual texture, like balconies, brick, and metalwork. You do not need to read everything on day one. If you can recognize a few place names, hear a few phrases, and learn to ask politely, the city becomes much friendlier very quickly. That courtesy matters in everyday life. Greeting people is not decoration here. It is part of the social rhythm. In a cafe, at a museum desk, or in a guest house, a quick hello before your question sets a better tone. Churches ask for quiet and modest behavior because they are living sacred spaces, not scenery. So it is best to enter calmly and keep your voice low. Bathhouses work best with the same attitude. They are places of ritual, rest, and social life, and they do not reward rushed, noisy behavior.
The same calm respect belongs in a family-style meal as well, because in Tbilisi, the pace of the room is often the point. If you are invited to a supra, the great Georgian feast, let the tamada, the toastmaster, guide the rhythm. The table is meant for long conversation, repeated toasts, and dishes that arrive in waves, so the best guest is attentive rather than hurried. You do not need to match anyone else's appetite or drinking pace to be welcomed. What matters most is that you participate with warmth,
listen to the toasts, and understand that the meal itself is part of the social structure, not just the food on the plate. In a bathhouse or at a feast, Tbilisi tends to reward people who slow down enough to notice what kind of room they are in. As you move through the city, notice how quickly the atmosphere changes within a single walk. A stone stair can lead from a quiet courtyard to a noisy avenue, and one or two blocks can shift you from medieval lanes to 19th century balconies to Soviet concrete. That patchwork is not a flaw. It is the city telling the truth about its past. If you keep your attention on those transitions, you will start to hear Tbilisi as well as see it, and the route itself becomes part of the pleasure. Keep that mental model in mind. River, ridge, right bank, left bank, and the habit of moving by neighborhood rather than by isolated landmark. In the next part, you start where the city first made itself visible, in the old core and the Bath District, then move outward into the 19th century and modern layers that give Tbilisi its full shape. That is the easiest way to know Tbilisi, not as a checklist of sights, but as repeated walks that slowly become second nature. Now that you have the river and the hills in your head, Tbilisi starts to make sense in the body. The right bank feels compressed and historic. The left bank opens a little more, and the bridges between them act like commas in the city sentence. They are not just crossings. They change the mood. And because Tbilisi loves a slope, if a street looks short at first glance, you can safely assume gravity has opinions. Start in Kala, the medieval core, and you immediately feel how old the city's logic is. Narrow lanes, stone steps, wooden balconies, patched facades, and the constant sense of rebuilding make the district read like an architectural palimpsest. 19th century houses, Soviet additions, repaired plaster, and weathered balconies sit on the same few streets. Many buildings keep their best ornament higher up, on the balconies and upper floors, while street level stays almost plain, as if the neighborhood prefers to reveal itself slowly. You are not looking at a city frozen in one era. You are looking at a city that keeps writing over itself and leaving the earlier sentences visible. The old center is best met early or late, when its surfaces feel less like a sightseeing stage and more like a lived-in district. In the morning, the first smells are often bread from neighborhood ovens, damp stone after rain, and nearer the baths, that mineral sulfur note that tells you the ground is warm. Before the city fully wakes, shutters open, voices drift from doorways, and footsteps ring on stone. If I had only one first walk to give you in the old center, I would begin at Liberty Square, which is the cleanest hinge in the center, and let the city lead you downhill into the old lanes. From there, one direction drops into Kala, and another rises towards Sololaki and Rustaveli. That route teaches you the shape of the place before the sightseeing starts. You pass Sioni, where the larger church profile gives the quarter a formal anchor, and Anciskati, one of the oldest surviving churches in Tbilisi, which feels smaller and more intimate. If you hear bells, those churches give the quarter its sonic landmarks, and that sound is as useful as any street sign. If you keep following the bathward streets to Abanatubani, you will also notice Armenian church facades and the Juma Mosque near the baths. That proximity matters. Tbilisi has long been a multi-ethnic, multi-faith city, and the old core still shows that story in the way its sacred buildings share the same urban fabric. it is less a single faith streetscape than a shared one. That mixture is one of the reasons the center feels so dense in character. It was never built to be neat. It was built to hold people close together. From there, the Betlemme Stairs give you one of the most memorable vertical routes in the city. The climb threads churches, courtyards, and viewpoints together, so the ascent feels like a lesson in how Tbilisi stacks itself uphill. It is one of those places where you realize the city thinks a staircase can count as a street.
At the top, Narikala Fortress stands as a commanding ruin rather than a polished monument, and nearby, the Mother of Georgia looks out over the city with her bowl of wine and her sword. That image is almost a shorthand for Tbilisi itself. Hospitality and defense, welcome and warning, all in one pose. From the ridge, the old roofs, the river bend, Sololaki, and the broader center all fall into place. Down below, Abano Tubuni deserves its own stop, because the Bath District is not just a pretty corner of the old city. The brick domes rising from the street, the mineral smell in the air, and the low, rounded bathhouse roofs make it feel different from the lanes above. This is the quarter most directly tied to the city's name, because Tbilisi comes from Tbili, warm, a reference to the geothermal springs that gave the settlement its first pull. Some bathhouses dress the domes in bright tile. Others keep a more severe brick look. But all of them belong to a living bathing culture. It is a place where you can feel history without it turning into a display case. Even if you do not go in, the district makes the city's warm name origin story visible. Just beyond the baths, the edge of the botanical garden and the gorge behind it show how quickly Tbilisi can turn from steam and stone to greenery and rock. One minute, you are in a maze of steep lanes and old walls, and the next, you are looking into damp leaves, shadowed cliff faces, and a narrow natural corridor that reminds you the city has never completely escaped the landscape that shaped it. The old core is not sealed off from nature. It keeps opening and closing on it. That transition is one of the best arguments for walking slowly here, because the city changes texture before it changes neighborhood. That is why the most interesting parts of old Tbilisi are often just behind the obvious street view. A half-open gate, a stairwell turning inward, a courtyard that changes the acoustics the moment you step through, a balcony patched and repainted more than once. These are not side notes. They are the city in its daily register. The public street is one layer, the shared inner life another, and Tbilisi is at its best when you notice the seam between them. If a courtyard is clearly residential, treat it as a glimpse rather than an invitation. The joy is in noticing how the city lives, not in turning someone's doorway into a performance. Sololaki, just uphill from the medieval maze, is the 19th century counterpoint that shows you how the city expanded once it moved beyond the fortress shell. The streets are arranged more cleanly, the blocks feel more regular, and the architecture leans into Art Nouveau detail, elegant balconies, and a faded confidence that age has softened rather than erased. If Kala is a tangle, Sololaki is a grid with a memory. It was originally a neighborhood of merchants and dignitaries, so the facades still carry a faint air of having been built to impress. They may be weathered, cracked, or restored in patches, but the neighborhood keeps its grace. You look up here more than you do in the old lanes because the ornament climbs to the balconies, cornices, and ironwork. The real trick in Sololaki
is learning to hear the courtyards. On the street, you get the city's public voice. Traffic, passing conversation, the rumble of buses farther out. Step through a gate, and the sound changes almost immediately into a softer domestic register. Footsteps echo differently, voices become more contained, and the building suddenly feels shared from the inside. That shift from public street to shared inner life is one of the most Tbilisi things you can notice. It is also a good reminder that some of the city's beauty is not on the avenue at all, but tucked into the spaces between buildings. Rustaveli Avenue changes the scale again. The street broadens, the facades stand straighter, and the city starts speaking in its formal civic voice. This is Tbilisi's broad civic spine, where theaters, museums, and public buildings gather into a long, legible axis. The Georgian National Museum, the Opera and Ballet Theater, and the National Gallery all belong to that same broad conversation. The avenue feels more imperial than the lanes below, as if the city has straightened its collar for the occasion. If Old Town is all curves and surprises, Rustaveli is the line you can trust when you want the center to behave like a capital. Just off that spine, Vera gives you a quieter residential register. It sits between Rustaveli and the hill slopes, so the boulevard is close, but the pace drops as soon as you turn into the apartment streets and neighborhood cafes. Vera is useful because it shows you central Tbilisi as people actually live it. You notice apartment balconies, small groceries, and low-key cafes, not the performance of heritage. It is the kind of district that explains how the center works beyond the postcard image. It gives you breathing room without pushing you out of the center, and it helps you understand how the boulevard, the hill, and the residential city fit together. Above Vera and Rustaveli, Mtatsminda changes the scale entirely. Whether you go up by the funicular or the cable car, the point is the same. You are trading street-level detail for a hilltop panorama that makes the whole city legible at once. From the top, Tbilisi stops being a tangle and becomes a layered map. You can trace the Mkvari River, the bridge crossings, the Old Core, Sololaki, the Left Bank, and the hill neighborhoods as separate zones. The park and the tower make the ridge easy to recognize, but the real value is the perspective itself. It is the kind of view that makes every later walk easier, because suddenly you know where everything sits in relation to everything else. The descent matters too, because the city unfolds beneath you in a way it simply cannot when you are in the lanes. Cross the river to Avlabari, and the city opens again. This is the Left Bank anchor, with wider views back toward the old city and a stronger church presence that changes the skyline's emphasis. Semeba Cathedral rises here with modern scale, while Metiki, on its cliff, looks back toward the historic core. That contrast is important. One side announces a newer national symbol, and the other keeps the older riverfront story in view. Avlabari also reminds you that Tbilisi has long been more than one community, and more than one faith. From here, the old city looks less like a maze, and more like a layered, living skyline that kept spreading without forgetting where it started. The newer river edge around the bridges gives you another version of that same idea. Around Reich and the glass and steel bridge of peace, the ground is flatter, the space more open, and the city feels deliberately public. Contemporary architecture meets the river here in a way the older quarters do not, and the crossings themselves become part of the experience. The Bridge of Peace is the most visible symbol of that shift. But what matters more is the mood.
After the steep lanes, these open spaces feel almost expansive.
They give Tbilisi room to breathe, and they show you a city that is trying to reconnect its banks in a more walkable, modern way. Not far from there, Dry Bridge Market is one of the best places to read the city's memory in objects. It is an open-air market of old tools, prints, household objects, badges, books, enamelware, cameras, and other remnants that tend to outlive their first owners. It feels less like a polished antique market and more like an archive laid out in daylight. Some things are practical, some decorative, some wonderfully odd, but the point is the same. Tbilisi does not throw away its past cleanly.
It keeps putting it back into circulation. Even if you do not buy a thing, the market teaches you how the city treats its own leftovers. Not as trash, exactly, but as stories waiting for another turn. It also makes a natural pause between the old center and the more open streets northward. If you keep walking north toward Marjanishvili, the city flattens and loosens again. The streets are broader, the housing more ordinary, and the mix of everyday life and reused buildings feels more visible than monumental.
Around Marjanishvili and the pedestrian stretch of Agmashineveli Avenue, you get a Tbilisi that is more contemporary in its use of space. Apartment blocks, refurbished facades, cafes, and cultural venues sharing the same blocks. It is a good counterweight to the old center because it shows you how the city lives when it is not trying to look historic. You are still in the center, but the center is behaving differently. That difference is useful to feel because it tells you how Tbilisi actually works across a normal day.
As you move through these districts, the city's food culture comes into view as part of the street rather than a separate activity. You notice neighborhood bakeries, casual cafes, and the places where a quick snack becomes a pause in the walk. Khachapuri and Khinkali are the familiar names, but the broader habit matters more than the dish. People eat to stay in the flow of the day, to sit with company, and to keep the rhythm of the neighborhood. A long meal, a quick coffee, or a late glass of wine can all feel equally local if you are taking the pace from the room rather than forcing the room to match your pace.
If you are invited into a supra, the great Georgian feast, let the tamada, the toastmaster, guide the rhythm. The table is meant for long conversation, repeated toasts, and dishes that arrive in waves, so the best guest is attentive rather than hurried. The meal itself is part of the social structure, not just the food on the plate. The practical side of the city works in the same patient way. The Georgian lari is the currency you will actually use, and cash still matters in bathhouses, markets, and smaller neighborhood purchases, even when larger cafes and hotels are card-friendly. ATMs are the simplest way to get local currency.
It is worth carrying a few smaller notes, because not every place wants to make change for a larger bill. On the ground, a greeting matters more than people expect. Gamarjoba means hello. Madloba means thank you. Tushadesliba means please, or if possible. Diach means yes. Ara means no. Nachfamdis means goodbye. You do not need a large phrase list here. A few short words said kindly do a great deal. The Georgian script you will see on signs is called Mchedruli, and it is worth letting it stay unfamiliar at first. Recognizing a few place names is enough to begin with.
When you think about the hidden corners of Tbilisi, do not chase secrecy so much as thresholds. Courtyards are the obvious example, especially in Sololaki and the older lanes, where an open gate can lead into a different acoustic world. Staircases matter too, because the city stacks routes on top of one another and hides whole layers of movement in plain sight. Market edges, quiet viewpoints, and the little places where a lane suddenly opens toward the river are all part of the same pattern. Tbilisi's best surprises are usually not secret at all. They are simply places where you can see two layers at once.
So keep the pattern in mind. Right bank for the tight historic core and the steep climbs. Left bank for wider views and more open streets. Bridges for transitions and hills for perspective. If you want a single way to remember it, use the river as your compass, the hills as your vocabulary, and the bridges as your sentence breaks. Once you feel those shifts, the neighborhoods stop being names and become a sequence of moods and textures. And that is when Tbilisi starts to feel less like a place you are visiting and more like a place you know how to move through.
By now, Tbilisi should be starting to feel legible in the body as well as in the mind. The river tells you which side you are on. The hills tell you how much effort the city is asking of you, and the bridges tell you when the mood changes. In this last stretch, the landmarks, museums, markets, baths, and tables are not separate stops so much as the city's way of explaining itself in public. The old stone, the working churches, the modern bridges, and the food all belong to the same story. If you want one place that gathers that story into a single view, start with Narikala Fortress. It is not a polished monument, and that is exactly why it works. The walls are rough, the ruin is visible, and the city spreads below it in a way that makes the geography impossible to misunderstand. Tbilisi had to grow in a narrow corridor between river and ridge, so it became a city of compression and ascent. Narikala shows you that logic at a glance. You see the old core tucked below, the river bending through the middle, and the later neighborhoods reaching outward from that first defensive spine. The climb matters as much as the destination. Begin down in Abanotubani, or one of the old lanes, and let the city lead you upward. The streets tighten, the slope increases, and the view keeps changing as you gain height. Then the Mother of Georgia appears above the roofs, and the meaning of the skyline shifts. Kardlis Data holds a bowl of wine in one hand and a sword in the other, which may be the clearest symbol Tbilisi has ever given itself. Hospitality and defense. Welcome and warning, warmth and caution. It is a remarkably compact way of saying that this city has always had to be generous and guarded at the same time. That same vertical logic is part of why the old city works so well on foot. A stairway can behave like a street here.
A rise in the road can feel like a neighborhood transition. A descent can take you from a quiet courtyard to a noisy avenue in just a few minutes. If you have one landmark loop in mind, make it this one. Begin low, climb toward Narikala and the Mother of Georgia, then come back down by a different street so you can feel how the city stacks itself. Tbilisi makes more sense when you experience the return as carefully as the ascent. Down by the river, Mateki Church gives you the counterpoint. Here, the city feels more like a riverside capital than a hilltop fortress.
The church sits on the cliff above the Emtkvari, and the mounted statue of Vakhtang Gorgasali, the legendary founder, points you back toward the city's origin story. The river is not just a boundary here, it is the line the city grew around. From Mateki, you can read the old core across the water
and feel how the skyline has always been in conversation with the riverbank. A little farther into the religious center of the old city, Sioni Cathedral and Anciscati Basilica give you two different kinds of continuity. Sioni feels central and grave, a working cathedral that still carries the city's Orthodox life into the present.
Anciscati feels smaller, older, and more intimate, the kind of church that makes you aware of survival rather than scale. Together, they remind you that Tbilisi's sacred spaces are not museum pieces. They are lived spaces, where people enter quietly, light candles, and move with a kind of attention that visitors should match. Across the river, Holy Trinity Cathedral rises with a very different tone. Sameba is vast and modern, and its scale makes a clear statement about post-Soviet Georgia. You will spot it from many parts of the city, because it is meant to be seen.
From the cathedral grounds, you can look back across the river toward the old city and Narikala, which is one of the most useful ways to understand Tbilisi as a whole. The city keeps facing itself across the Mtkvari, and those two banks tell different chapters of the same story. That contrast becomes even more visible at the modern riverfront near Rike Park and the Bridge of Peace. The bridge is all glass and steel, graceful in a way that deliberately refuses to imitate the old city. That honesty is part of its value. It says that Tbilisi is not trying to freeze itself in one era.
Rike Park opens the river edge into something flatter, calmer, and more public, which is welcome after the slopes of the old core. It also gives you one of the easiest routes back toward the fortress, if you choose the cable car, so the modern riverfront becomes a practical transition, as well as a visual one. The sulfur bath district, Abanotubani, deserves to be treated as a cultural center, rather than a curiosity. The domed bathhouses sit low in the ground because the hot rooms are sunk beneath street level, and that gives the neighborhood a slightly buried, almost subterranean look. The smell is unmistakable.
It is warm, mineral, and a little sharp, and it tells you immediately why the city is called Tbilisi at all. The name comes from Tbili, meaning warm, a direct reference to the geothermal springs that gave the settlement its first region to exist. That is one of the rare moments when a city's origin story is visible in the air. The baths themselves are part of a living habit. This is not spa culture in a generic sense. It is an old urban practice tied to cleansing, rest, conversation, and the social life of the city.
Some bathhouses dress themselves in colorful tile, while others stay close to brick and stone. But they all belong to the same atmosphere. Even if you do not go inside, the district tells you a great deal about how Tbilisi began, around heat, water, and shared ritual, not around a grand monument or a planned boulevard. Just beyond the baths, the botanical garden and the gorge behind it are a reminder that Tbilisi has never escaped its landscape. One minute, you are in a maze of steep lanes and domed roofs, and the next, you are looking into cliff faces, damp greenery, and a narrow natural corridor.
That shift is one of the city's defining experiences. It changes texture before it changes neighborhood, which is why slow walking matters so much here. You do not need to chase the whole city at once. You need to let it reveal its seams. Those seams are part of what makes the hidden corners worth your attention. Courtyards and solalaki and the old lanes, half-open gates, stairwells that turn inward, and the little places where a street suddenly opens toward the river all tell you the same thing. Tbilisi keeps much of its life slightly tucked away.
if a courtyard is clearly residential, treat it as a glimpse rather than an invitation.
The joy is in noticing the way the city lives, not in forcing your way into it. The most interesting spaces are often not secret at all. They are simply transitional, and Tbilisi is full of those thresholds. Rustaveli Avenue changes the city's scale again. It is broad, formal, and civic in a way the old lanes never try to be. This is the city's public spine, where theaters, museums, and major institutions line up in a long and readable sequence. Even without stepping inside, walking Rustaveli tells you how Tbilisi presents itself as a capital. The avenue is wide enough to breathe in, and that alone makes it feel like a different city from the medieval core. It is the place where Tbilisi straightens its collar and speaks in its official voice. For a museum day, the Georgian National Museum on Rustaveli is one of the most useful choices because it gives you breadth without losing the local thread. You move from archaeology and ancient treasure through ethnographic material and into the difficult 20th century, including the parts of history that do not flatter the nation. That matters. It keeps Georgia from becoming a romanticized story. You get the long material life of the country, the beauty of its objects, and the cost of its political experience in one place. The Tbilisi History Museum adds a city-scale version of that same idea. Housed in an old caravanserai building, it makes the old commercial life of the capital easier to understand. Trade objects, household pieces, maps, photographs, and craftwork all help explain what the streets of the old city were for. After you have walked the lanes, the museum helps you see them as a functioning urban world rather than just a picturesque district. It turns atmosphere into history, which is exactly what a good city museum should do. The Georgian Museum of Fine Arts gives you another register entirely, one that focuses on visual imagination rather than civic memory. Paintings, sculpture, and decorative work show how Georgian artists have responded to landscape, faith, modern life, and memory over time. It is a quieter kind of visit, but that quiet has value. It reminds you that a city is not only built and remembered, it is also pictured, interpreted, and reimagined. The Academy of Arts Museum, smaller and often less crowded in feeling, is useful for the same reason. It shows the training ground behind the finished work. That matters in a city like Tbilisi, where architecture, illustration, craft, and fine art often overlap. The museum helps you see the making behind the made thing. It is a reminder that culture is not only preserved after the fact, it is taught, revised, and handed forward. Then there is Dry Bridge Market, which feels like an open-air archive. If the museums on Rustaveli show you the city in curated rooms, Dry Bridge gives you objects without the polish. Old badges, cameras, books, enamelware, toys, military leftovers, paintings, and all the small remnants of previous lives fill the tables and blankets. Browsing there is not efficient shopping. It is a kind of conversation with the city's memory. Tbilisi does not discard its past very cleanly, and that is part of its charm. What survives often returns to circulation in some altered form. Food is one of the clearest ways the city makes itself available to you. In Tbilisi, a table is never just a table. It is a place where bread, herbs, walnuts, smoke, wine, and conversation all share the same space. You feel that immediately in the freshness of the salads, the richness of the walnut sauces,
and the way the meal comes in waves rather than all at once. Georgian food is generous without being careless. It likes brightness and depth at the same time. Khinkali are often the first dish visitors fall in love with, but they reward a little technique. Lift the dumpling by its top knot, bite carefully from the side, and catch the broth before it escapes. That broth is the point.
The top knot is usually left on the plate, partly by custom and partly because it helps you count how many you ate, which is a practical and slightly amused way to measure appetite. Khinkali are messy in exactly the right way, and they are best eaten with patience. Khachapuri is not one bread, but a family of breads, and that is the most useful way to think about it. In one version, the cheese stays tucked inside a round loaf. In another, it opens into a boat with butter and egg. Elsewhere, the cheese is baked through the crust or spread across the top. The shape tells you something about region and mood, so the dish ends up feeling like a map you can eat. It is comfort food, yes, but it is also a very Georgian lesson in variety inside a shared name. Pakali gives you the herb and walnut side of the kitchen. Think chopped greens or vegetables mixed with walnuts, garlic, herbs, and something bright to lift the flavor. Mtsfadi brings the smoke, with grilled meat skewers that fit the rhythm of a long meal and a slow conversation. Put them on the same table, and you get a strong sense of the cuisine's range. Fresh and smoky, vegetal and meaty, restrained and generous, all at once. Georgian wine belongs there as part of the meal's structure, not as an optional extra. In this city, wine is not just a drink. It is part of the social architecture. That is where the supra comes in, the great Georgian feast guided by the tamada, or toastmaster. The tamada sets the rhythm with toasts that can be solemn, affectionate, philosophical, or funny, and the meal becomes a form of social memory. There are toasts to peace, family, ancestors, absent friends, and the moment itself. If you are invited to a supra, the most important thing is not to hurry. Listen, participate warmly, and let the pace be set by the room.
The table is doing more than feeding you. It is staging hospitality and making a shared ritual out of dinner. A few Georgian phrases are enough to move more easily through that world. Gamarjoba means hello. Madloba means thank you. Tusheidsleba means please or if possible. Diach means yes. Ara means no. Nachvamdis means goodbye. Minda, pronounced minda, means I would like. Gvino, pronounced gvino, means wine. Angarishi tusheidsleba means the bill please. You do not need a long phrase book. A few short words, spoken kindly, go a long way here.
The Georgian script you will see on signs is called Mkedrili, and it is best approached as part of the city's visual texture, rather than something you need to master right away. If you want to use your time in Tbilisi well, the best strategy is not to rush between categories. Give one day to the climb, with Narikala, the mother of Georgia, and the old lanes tied together as one vertical walk. Give one day to museums and Rustavoli Boulevard, so the civic and historical layers can settle in. Give one day to the baths or the market, where the city becomes more tactile and less formal. Then let the rest of your stay unfold through repeated meals, familiar crossings, and neighborhood walks that you begin to recognize by smell, slope, and sound. That is the larger pattern worth keeping in your head. Right bank for the tight historic core and the steep climbs, left bank for wider views and a more open skyline,
bridges for transitions, hills for perspective, courtyards and stairways for the city's quieter layers. Once you start reading Tbilisi this way, the districts stop being just names and become a sequence of moods and textures. And that is what makes the city stay with you.
It stops feeling like a place you visit and starts feeling like a place you know how to move through. Sources: official Tbilisi and Georgia tourism pages. I used these for the city's basic orientation, the old quarters, the sulfur bath district, the major viewpoints, and the shape of each neighborhood. They were the backbone for the first-time visitor framework. Public transit information from Tbilisi's metro and city transport operators. This covered the metro, buses, marshrutkas, cable cars, the funicular, fare logic, and payment methods. I also cross-checked current hours and route details against public notices were available.
The National Bank of Georgia and other current currency references. These were my main sources for the lari, cash use, cards, ATMs, and tipping norms. UNESCO's Creative Cities Network and major local arts institutions. I used these for Tbilisi's contemporary cultural profile, design scene, and the city's mix of historic and adaptive reuse venues. The Georgian National Museum System, major city museums, and public heritage pages for churches and landmarks. These informed the museum section, the religious and architectural background, and the notes on places like Narikala, Sameba, Metiki, Sioni, the Baths, and the Bridge of Peace.
Public cultural references on Georgian food and hospitality. These helped shape the sections on Khinkali, Khachapuri, wine, the Supra, and the role of the Tamada, along with the everyday etiquette around sharing a meal. Reputable encyclopedia-level and academic history summaries, plus current public travel guidance and climate information. These helped with the founding story, imperial and Soviet-era growth, the city's multi-ethnic history, and the practical advice on safety, seasons, and walking conditions. This concludes the audiobook narration. Thank you for listening.